This is AI Podcast. Not artificial intelligence, agency intelligence.
Our team's going to be 10 times stronger than all the other teams.
A platform for agents.
When people think of niche marketing, they're thinking so small scale.
In real life agencies, sharing their thoughts.
All you need to do is get in front of more people.
To transform an industry.
Better coverages, better pricing, just better everything.
Real.
The difference between givers, takers, and matchers.
Agents.
I guess I took a slightly different path coming to the agency. I know a lot of
agencies.
You can partner your clients with those companies that are looking for that specific target market.
This is AI Podcast. Are you ready? I am. Let's go.
Hey. Welcome, loyal listeners, to Agency Intelligence, where I give you a real agent inside a real agency, giving you the real agency intelligence and not the artificial that they try to make you believe out there. This is Jason Cass, your host, the one, the only. Actually, that's not true. If you do look, there are a bunch of other Jason Casses, but I am the one and only the Jason Cass. No, I'm just saying, if you look a lot out there, you know, Dale actually is on here with us. And before I get on with it, loyal listeners, you may want to know there's a Jason Cass up in Canada, and he's like an actor. Like he's not an actor. He's a, he's like a design specialist, and he has his own, a TV show, like reality TV shows, very big in Canada. But his name is Jason Cass. So he seems older than me too. So I can't claim that he wants to be like me. Anyways, loyal listeners, welcome to another episode. I'm glad that you're here. As this gentleman has told me a couple minutes ago, he doesn't understand why he's on here. He's just a regular average Joe is what he said. And I think you're going to find that to be very true. I'm not going to lie. I think that when it comes to the average Joe, he's 80% of the people out there. Everything's 80-20, so we know he's not 20%. So he's 80% of people out there. And how we got to this podcast is Dale's correct. There was nothing about Dale that made me follow him or anything. For you guys know, he's a mastermind member. He's a champion. So I understand, and like I know Dale through there, but I hadn't really had anything. And then Dale took advantage of a lot of people in the mastermind, which is castcalendar.com. He got on my calendar and he started just talking to me about different things and ideas that he had in his head. Dale, I don't know how long the conversation was. It could have been 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I just told Dale, I said, Dale, dude, we got to stop right now. Just stop. I was like, other people need to hear this and you need to come on the podcast. So that was about a month ago. It was a month ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. But I would like to introduce everybody. If you would, please stand to your feet. Don't throw money. He makes enough of it, but he'll always take more. Dale Lanenhennig. And he is German. And that is one of the toughest names I've had to say yet. there was one. She's the owner of Insurify. Sajid, I'm butchering her name. Now, she has the most difficult name in the whole wide world. But his is German. And he said, Jason, you obviously don't have any Germans up there around you. But welcome, Dale, to the podcast. Great to have you.
Hey, great. Thanks for having me, Jason. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, one thing I want to remind people about before we get on to this is I'm always talking about We Got Your Podcast, and that's astronomically blowing up. But one thing I also want to remind people is the champions group that we have. As I said earlier, Dale is a member of that. You can go to insuranceagencyintelligence.com. In the top right, click on Mastermind. You will see Dale's beautiful mug in there because we give pictures and we tell you the names of everybody in there so you can see that we are not members. We're champions. Why are we champions? Because we win every day. Check us out. We ask you to put skin in the game, $99 a month. But the reason why we do that is because we want to keep the idiots out. And we try to build up a bunch of money. And we have a big party called Brain Share at the end of the year. Join us. InsuranceAgencyIntelligence.com. Top right. Mastermind. Click it. Join. Let's go. Dale, how are you doing, sir?
Awesome. It is a great day.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Literally a great day to be alive. I was thanking the Lord last night. The older I get, the less sleep I get. So 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm, you know, tossing and turning, thinking about the stuff that I need to do the next day and all that kind of stuff. And I got to thinking about it and I thought, wow, thank you, God, that at the end of 2020, the beginning of 2021, how amazing it is that I am laying here in my recliner.
Come on.
And I'm breathing clearly. And I said, thank you, Lord, for the breath in my lungs. And I get to get up tomorrow and figure out, yeah, I'm stressed and I got some stuff to do and I got stuff piling up on me and some different things that I haven't even shared with you, Jason, that's changed dramatically since the last time we spoke. But none of that matters because we're alive, we're breathing, we got a new day to get started, and I'm ready to do it. I almost canceled this appointment with you when I had some stuff kind of turned upside down in my world, and I said, no, that's kind of the whole point, because it's a daily battle, and being in business is a daily battle, and the ones who survive are the ones who, you know, you get punched in the mouth, and you just keep moving forward, and you just say, I'm going to find a way, and all this, and if the toughest thing that we have to do is to figure out how to manage all the opportunity in front of us and all the customers that we have and all the service needs to take care of them and all the people that want to do business with us. That's a pretty good problem to have. And so anyway, yes. So how am I doing today? That's how I'm doing today. I'm deciding to have a good day, and I'm just deciding to be thankful and grateful for what we got. We're breathing. We're healthy. We're talking here in the middle of the COVID pandemic and all that stuff. And that in itself is an awesome thing and a victory. All the other stuff is sideline.
These guys are about 5 to 7 minutes into their drive or their jog, and they're hyped up. Dale has got them hyped up. I'm telling you what, the German in him has let loose. The only thing is he's not drinking yet, so that's okay. It's still before 10 in the morning. Can't start then. But anyways, Dale, let's get where we need to go. A Droid or our iPhone user?
iPhone all the way, but Google Assistant is my favorite. So this gives you a glimpse into who I am here. Every answer is kind of two-part. But no, I've tried to get into Google world because I love Google Assistant, Google Maps, and that whole world. But iPhones work for me, and I always run back, and I always try to make my Android because it's customizable. So I try to make it an iPhone. So anyway,
so you're just thinking, I might as well be at the damn
iPhone. All the
so
time.
Do you use like Nest and the Google Nest that's inside your house for?
No, I'm.
Dale. It's amazing. Cause if you're a Google guy, like I'm a Google guy, like it sounds that you are, dude, it's amazing. Like if you go get the Google Wi-Fi, I've never in my life, you plug it in, you go to the Home app, it finds it, it hooks it up. You set a password, shit's working through your whole house. And it's got like the main thing, and then it comes with like two or three other things. You can put as many as you want, so you can put them around your house, so you have high Wi-Fi everywhere. And then like I went and got indoor cameras because my son likes to sneak out because he's 15. And I mean, I have those things everywhere. And inside my Google Home, I have all my speakers throughout my house. You know, and that's the thing that I was telling my wife, she got me all these Google speakers for Christmas. And I'm like, man, I remember I used to have to get the drill out, right? Drill through the wall, push the wire through there, you know, it coming across. You know what I mean?
Now
you just go set your speaker over there and you hit open up your Home app and it just connects and all of a sudden you're jamming. You know what I mean? And it's like, I mean, literally in 30 minutes, I had my whole house just jamming Christmas Day.
That's crazy. So after this, you're going to have to share a little bit more about the whole speaker setup with me.
Yeah, dude, it's sweet, dude. And then the cameras and the whole thing. And now I got my fridge that I just bought and, you know, and get the thermostat. And people are like, what do you do this for? I mean, it's pretty cool. It learns your life. And if the thermostat knows basically when I'm there and when I'm not, it can tell everything else in the house, which can adjust that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Jason and his wife always leave for 8 hours on Saturday. Well, let's cool that down. We know that the refrigerator is not going to open. Let's drop that. Let's turn that up a little bit, you know, so we don't use as much. Anyways, that's where we're going. I live in a world, Dale, like you do. But I open up Neon, I see everything going into my office. I open up Megaphone, I see everybody who's listening to my podcast. I have that. I have Spotify that tells me what I'm supposed to listen to because it says, Jason, this is what you like. I live in a world where I just stand there and stuff is happening all around me. And loyal listeners, what I want you to know is if you go back and you listen to 2 or 3 years ago, I specifically talked about this. I talked about it in the fact of lawyers. Lawyers will not be surrounded by paralegals when in 10, 15 years. They will be surrounded by AI technology, which can do 10 times the thing one paralegal can do and do it a lot better. It's that environment, agents. That's what Dale's creating. That's why we're here talking. It's how do you start to set this stuff up? And here's the beauty of this. The way Dale does it may not work for you. And the way that Dale does it is probably way better than some of you are doing it. You're going to say, wow, I'm going to start doing that. That's why we have this podcast, is to bring you on. Dale, what's the last app you downloaded?
Oh, man. Let me look.
Yeah.
Let me look. I got to go to the end here. Done.
What's that? Tell me about it.
I'm a Michael Hyatt fan, Michael Hyatt productivity stuff. And so one of his deals within his paper, old school, full focus planner.
There you go.
One of his deals is daily rituals. And so what the Done app is, and I haven't got on there, I'm not sure if I'm going to use it, played around with it a little bit, but it's where you put your daily rituals. Like, you're going to get up at 5, you start the bacon in the pan, and you're going to have one deal of water, you're going to do this, that, and the other, and do your Bible study, and do your, you know, and all this. So it's daily rituals and kind of checking those things off. Done.
Fantastic, dude. That, love Michael Hyatt. So many good people out there today that just pour out. I was successful. How do I give my information out there so I can help one person? Yep. I love it. I love it. Do you love to win or do you hate to lose?
Love to win. Love
to win. Sure about that? You've listened to it enough to know and think about this.
Yes. So I've listened to you ask this question and the iPhone question. I was so prepared for that one as well. But so those are the only two I'm prepared for today. But okay. So I've thought about this because yes, I can slant toward the hate to lose thing. But my thing is, if we're going to focus on the negative, it just totally takes the legs out from under us to be able to move forward and have that positive momentum to win. And I truly do love to win more than I hate to lose, because I know we're going to lose some stuff. I know we're going to lose some stuff.
Like that.
So just keep getting out there and winning. And an older agent that is actually a local competitor to me in one of our towns that where we have an agency. I told him one time, because I had taken like 5 pieces of business that week from him, and that's not normal. And I just told him, I said, hey, and he went to our church and I led worship at the church. And I said, hey, you know, I'm not targeting your business. I took like 5 or 6 accounts this week. And, you know, I just want you to know that. And I'm not just targeting your stuff or going after your stuff. These just happened to be some friends that kind of came to me. And this was a cousin of that one. And, you know, that type of deal. Mm-hmm. And he just said, Dale. He said, you know, this business, that's just how it is. I'm going to lose some. It's going to go to you. And then you're going to lose some. It's going to come to me. And then I'm going to take some from somebody else. I'm going to lose some other ones. And that's just how it is. And if we spend our time worrying about that, you know, we're just going to get all bound up. So you don't even have to apologize.
Dale, how long have you been in the business?
This will be 23 years, going on 24 years.
Loyal listeners, there's something you really got to hear about what Dale's saying here. I didn't think this way 5 years, 3 years in, 5 years, 7 years in. It was this, they're competitors, right? So important, Dale, that story you just gave. And if you guys, anybody out there feels that way about a competitor, do you feel guilty about taking it? Or are you the older gentleman that's getting your business taken from? Maybe there's a little bit you need to take personal from that, but I think the wisdom of what that gentleman said, the same people Absolutely. Who laid the golden road that we walk today, that's part of his wisdom for one of the bricks he's laying. Please listen to that. That's so important. Dale, that's great. I really, really, really like that. Very, very good.
That gave me a ton of freedom in my own life, because, you know, I can get bound up over that. I take it personally because I take my accounts personally. You know, we're a smaller agency. And sometimes small, you know, small town, local, and friends and family and people. And, you know, these are people we see in a grocery store in my small town location, especially. And, you know, I can take it personal, but you just can't do that. So let's just love to win and keep out there and writing as much as we can, be the best that we can for the people that we do serve. And, you know, we're going to lose some and lose gracefully, and maybe you'll earn their business back some other day.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. I love it. 2 things got you where they are: luck or skill. Which one?
Well, I'm going to say skill.
Okay.
Why? Truly, I'm going to switch your, if I had to choose between those two, but okay. I'm actually going to take the luck out, and I'm going to say just God's guidance in direction. Mm. I feel like truly in my life, I'm just stumbling around, bumping into stuff. And God is just leading me through. Sometimes I just turn around, I look, and I'm just like, how in the world, how am I dealing with this customer? How did I even get them? And what am I doing? And yet, you know, I think that positioning ourselves through, you know, through a continual search for knowledge and, you know, whether it's through CIC or mastermind groups or different things like that. And, you know, yes, you gotta, if you want to go next level, you gotta just continually be enhancing your skill and being the best that you can be. So obviously that plays into it. If you're going to be a professional, be a professional. Woo! But, yeah, so I don't go the luck route, but I do probably even much more so than skill, just say, you know, God's plan and his direction and leadership. So if that falls into the luck category, so be it.
Today, loyal listeners, it's January 5th. It's around 9:19 a.m. right now. Today, there's a podcast released today by me and David Carruthers where he goes off and he talks about being a professional. And he gives two or three things about being a professional and what that means. And I throw a couple in there. So I love when you throw that out there, Dale, if you want to be a professional. Now, take us back. High school, college. I had a person ask me the other day, why do you always say that? And I said, because you don't have to be successful and go to college. Sometimes it was just high school. Take us back to high school and college. Just bring us forward to where you are and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, I grew up. I grew up in the country. My dad was
never would have guessed it.
He was. No. Well, actually, you know, when I was a little guy, I was in. We were in the bona fide city in Houston, Texas. My father was a Houston police officer, dog sergeant, canine sergeant. But my dad is a country boy at heart. He and his brothers actually grew up in the barn. 10 brothers and sisters, and the boys slept in the barn. So wow. That's how life was. And that's what my family came from. And my dad is an expert horseman, a cattleman and just, you know, that type of person. So I grew up out in the country and you know, really didn't live in the city limits until I was grown, other than when I was a little guy, in Houston at the very beginning. But anyway, so I grew up, you know, having to water the horses and feed and tend to an orphan colt and
work.
Yeah. That type of stuff. Well, we thought it was work. Golly, you know, what a blessed life that was. You know, my brother and I riding motorcycles, building forts, learning how to drive, cutting donuts in the pasture, you know, that type of deal. So there was a lot of fun to be had in that, a lot to learn with. My dad told me this, you know, with horses, with dogs, with animals and being around animals, so many life lessons. And he said, you know, you raising these animals and being around these animals, they're going to teach you a lot about people. They're going to teach you a lot about how to live and how to treat people and how to deal with people. And I think there are a ton of life lessons in that. Country boy got rebellious about 1985 when I was 13 years old. Heavy metal ruled the world. Found an old guitar underneath.
Did you have long hair?
I had hair. Yeah. Down below my shoulders.
No. Absolutely.
And you know, Motley Crue rat t-shirt every day. The leather jacket, the whole deal, Guns N' Roses, completely. When they came out, and I listened to their first album, Appetite for Destruction, and it completely changed the course of my life at that time. And I decided that I was going to go on a course of Appetite for Destruction. And I thought, I'm going to do that. And boy, I did everything I could to do that. And put my parents through all kinds of things. And I'll spare you the gory details just so I can have some friends. But God rescued me from that at a young age, recovered from that. And funny enough, my next move out of that, we lived in a prison town. That's the you either work for the prison, Texas prison system, or you ranch and work for the prison. So either way, that's what you do. And we didn't have the money to go to college. We didn't have any of that stuff. Matter of fact, for a number of years, we really couldn't run the air conditioner. That's just, you know, I was the last. I was on the verge of the what I would call the split in the generations. I believe is the air conditioner generation and the pre-air conditioner generation. And that really splits, I think, the timetables up in our lives of the different groups of people. But I was right in the middle of that. There were times when my dad would have to go outside in our 1965 aluminum trailer house and spray down the outside of the house to try to cool it off. And so that's how we grew up. Wow. Texas, it gets plenty hot. And when you're in those old school, you know, aluminum single wide trailer houses, So grew up that way. This is, you know, young years like that. Then, so went to work for the prison system. I was heavy metal ruled the world. I was a guitar player. We were going to be superstars, rock stars, that whole deal. Always had a band and all that stuff. We moved to Austin, almost starved to death, realized that actually we weren't any good. And literally was going through my sock drawers and stuff, just trying to find enough pennies to get some milk to have with the little stale cereal we had left. So I called my dad. I had my bass player cut off all my hair that night, put it in a ponytail, because I was no turning back. I decided I'm going to go make a life. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to work. Cut my hair off. Called my dad. I said, Dad, how long can it take you? How long will it take you to get me on with the prison system? I said, I just cut all my hair off. I want to come home and I want to get a real job. And
how old were you, Dale?
I was 17.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you developed this early. Okay.
17. Yeah. Okay. 17. You can't go to work for the prison system until you're 18, but I was about to be 18. So,
okay.
And he said, of course, you got to be 18 years old. First of all, he said, what? You cut your hair? I said, yeah. He said, you cut it all? Like all? And I said, well, I'm going to have to now. I cut the back off in a ponytail. You know, yeah, it's buzz time. And so
that's a big commitment to your dad, because he probably knew how big your hair was to you. And he's thinking, oh, man, if he's willing to do that, he's serious.
A big deal. I could tell you a lot of stories about that and some stuff that happened in high school over that. Can you imagine living in a small Texas country town? You know, the eight or so of us that were long haired, heavy metal, you know, it was we were quite outcasts
in the 80s. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, so I did that and went to the academy, went to work for the prison system. You know, we didn't have money for college. That wasn't even on the radar. And so, you know, you just went to work. So we went to work, and I went to work in a maximum security penitentiary in Palestine, Texas. And literally, there's an old Merle Haggard song says, I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole. Well, my 21st birthday, I spent in the penitentiary, and I went and I was night shift walking up and down the hallways of the cell block. And I was singing, I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole. And I'd get a few hollers from the cells, you know, boss man, come on, knock it off. They thought it was funny, you know, but I'm keeping them up at night. I said, boy, I said, man, I did turn 21 in prison. So, hey, I got to sing about it. I did that. I really was raised in prison.
I love it.
And I learned a lot about discipline. I learned a lot about hard work. I learned a lot about pressing through and working through fear. I'm a pretty little guy. And, you know, it can be an intimidating place. But I also learned about how to work with people, and that people are people. You know, lots of different emotions, lots of different backgrounds, lots of different things like that in prison. Lots of great people that I worked under, and lots of people that maybe I wouldn't want to duplicate everything that they do that I worked under. But thankfully I worked under a bunch of several really great people that took me under their wing. Wound up being a sergeant at 20 years old, wasn't old enough to even buy a beer, if that's what I wanted to do. Disclaimer, I don't drink. I did back then, but here I was supervisor in the penitentiary. I was a lieutenant at, I think, 20, 21, 22. And so, you know, that was 7 years or so. I learned, managed horribly. I was way too young to be a leader of people.
But
I think back on some of the crazy things that I did and things that I thought and how I thought to lead. It's just ridiculous. But I think back on those things even now, and it was still a great, great experience for me at a young age to be in.
So you were about 25, 26 then when you're getting out of this?
Yeah. I think I was, I'd have to do the math. I think 24, maybe 23, okay. 24. I think I was 25 when I opened my Allstate office. So yeah, I think probably 20. 24, 25.
So how'd you find that? Where was that shift from prison to Allstate?
Yeah. So, you know, pay is not great in the prison system. And, you know, if you're going to have a job where there's life threatening things all day long and potential for urine and feces to be thrown on you and all the just the junk that you have to deal with for a pretty, you know, pretty low pay. It's a rough spot. My hat's off to all those people working in the penitentiaries. But you know, I felt like I wanted to do something better. I wanted to move forward financially. I wanted I wanted my wife to have a better house. I just wanted to build a life, but also I wanted to do something where, you know, the deal at the prison system was do your eight and hit the gate. So basically if everybody that you went in with came out and everybody was alive and healthy, then it was a successful day. And all the same number of inmates were in that were in when you started the day, then great. But you know, you weren't building anything. And I started to get stagnant. I started to get bored. I wanted to build something. At the end of the day, I wanted to show that I had done something. And yes, I wanted some opportunities financially. We started looking into real estate, studying some different things. My wife was a secretary for a company that did oil and gas. And in the building that she was in, the local Farm Bureau agent was there. And so he knew that I was wanting to maybe do some things along the lines of business and do something a little bit different. And he pulled me in the office one day and recruited me. And he told me about this insurance business. And I thought, wow, so I'll do that. Maybe I'll just do this and then kind of get a little bit of income and get my foot in the door in the business world. And then I'll get into real estate. You know, almost 25 years later, I hadn't had time yet to look at real estate. But that's what happened. I got recruited to Farm Bureau. It's an amazing company. But that particular situation wasn't a fit for me locally. And so I just shortly after, like 6 months after, and their training is amazing. I think they feel like I probably went to them for their training and left, but opened my own Allstate office in 98 in Amarillo, Texas. So that's our, you know, more of our city, basically the only city up here in the Texas Panhandle. So it was 98. Some things were happening in Texas. We were having what's called a black mold crisis in 2001, 2002, where basically companies were just leaving the state. You couldn't write homeowners. It was just a horrible time. Some shifts were changing. Things were changing big time with Allstate at the time. So I started looking at, hey, what if I didn't have all my eggs in one basket where I wake up one morning and one CEO of one company makes a decision that turns my whole life upside down? So what if I went independent? And I learned that you really, at that time anyway, there weren't as many aggregators and different things like that out there. But at the time, you know, I learned trying to contact some companies just to up and go independent was going to be a very difficult thing to do. You kind of had to either have a book or have some money or buy somebody or something. And I didn't have any of those things. But I did find a 50-year-old independent agency here in the small town of Canadian, Texas, in northeast panhandle of Texas. He had Alzheimer's. He was independent. He was 80% Allstate. Just seemed like a perfect fit. He needed to get out. I was looking to go independent. I had never been over here to Canadian before. And they're actually, at the time, were a deep rival football team, which is big stuff in Texas.
Big stuff.
I had never set foot in this town before. And people said I was crazy coming from the town that we were from, Panhandle, Texas, being football rivals. This was never going to work. But we made a deal and bought the little sleepy independent agency. And I think it was a blessing to them because he was at the point where he was just going to shut his doors. And after 50 years of work, he was just going to have nothing.
And wow, so he got something.
Yeah. So
and you got something.
And then, yeah, we got in. We needed in. He got out. And he was able to have something for the years of hard work. So it worked out great. And these people in this town took us in like family. His customers that had been his customers for 20, 30, 40 years, they're still with me today, 20 years later. It's been 18 years ago we did this. And I think especially his friends, the older friends and the, you know, people that were close to him and had been his customers for years and years. I think at the time that we were seen as a blessing to him and that we had, you know, by buying the business. And anyway, it was just a positive, really positive thing. And so this town has been amazing to us and to me and my family and our business.
So how long ago, keep in mind, I think you're about in second or third place for the longest opening story. Preston Schmidley still holds that.
Wow. I thought this was the deal. I didn't even know this was the opener.
No. This is just the opener still, because now we got to get to the stuff that everybody wants to know about.
Got to get the editor rolling.
There is no editor. I'll keep you in the mind. We do not edit shows. We do drop commercials then besides that. So here's the deal. This is an amazing story. I think it's a story of a lot of people. What does your agency look like today? How many people is it? And are you personal, commercial, life, health?
Yeah. So now we're about 60-40 personal to commercial. One big goal of mine is actually to flip those numbers and maybe go 75-25 on the commercial side.
Sounds good.
You know, our commercial side, we do a lot of oil and gas, although energy's down right now. And so that's not a big thing. Everybody's struggling in that area right now. But we put in a second location in, so we're in Canadian, the small town. We put in a second location in Amarillo in 2013. I've got, we're micro. I've got one staff person over there. It rotates, you know, 1, 2 to 3 here in Canadian in the small town, just because there's more walk-in traffic here. People mm-hmm. actually like to come and have a cup of coffee and do stuff, talk. But, right now we've just gone through a little bit of a transition. So I've got one here in Canadian and she's new, been with us in September. And then I've got one in Amarillo, and then me, I float between the two, but Amarillo hadn't been open since March. So, physically. So I'm here in Canadian.
Amarillo by morning.
Absolutely.
I love George Strait. He's
the king
from San Antonio. Yeah, I know.
King. So
he's just the king. So hold on. So we're 60-40. You're wanting to flip that.
Yep.
Am I straight to say that you've just been a really good insurance agent? With the two Main Street shops, nothing big.
Yep.
And you're just going along being successful. And then along comes different ways of thinking. Yep. Along comes you're in another agent or you're talking to an agent at a conference and you're hearing some things. What was it that sparked that new deal? What was that?
So also we've been bivocational ministry this whole time, my entire career. Some things had changed with staffing in our office, and a lot of things changed in our lives. My wife and I were facing some pretty severe burnout just in all areas of our lives.
Okay.
And had taken a sabbatical where I resigned on staff as at the church that we were at the time. We need to regroup spiritually and in our direction in ministry and just breathe. It had been 20 years. So we took that breath and paused for a little bit and really just took a time I needed to rest. I was at the point where I was having chest pains every day. My hair was falling out on my keyboard, you know, just stress, just high stress.
What was it? What was a couple of those things?
Well,
what was
that stress? You know, there is no such thing as bivocational ministry. There is full-time ministry.
So you're stressed more on the outside things happening in your life, not stressed by the insurance.
It was both, you know, because that's the deal. I didn't feel like I was serving either side or my family because I was so stretched and I was overcommitted in all those areas. And I felt everywhere I went, I felt that I was letting down my church. I felt that I was letting down my family and I felt that I was letting down my staff.
They weren't getting the best. Yeah. They weren't getting the best version of you.
Correct. Yep. And my boys were, we're wrapping up high school. One was a freshman in college, and it was just time to be able to spend some time. You know, my boys sacrificed a lot through all of that busyness of all those years, and I needed to be there and be available. If I needed to run down to Lubbock where my other son was, I needed to just be able to run down there. If he says, I need you to help me do this or that, I just need to be able to go. And so we paused and we did that. We took basically, you know, almost a couple of years. But a full year of it.
What does that mean, a couple of years? Were you focused on the business and focused on your family, withdrew from the church, a leadership and stuff?
Yeah. So, and that was the main change that we had made is we refocused on the business again, because we'd had some staff turnover that we basically, I'm going through a similar situation right now that started yesterday. But we had to refocus and do that. But at the same time, I think God was using that as an open door to say, you know, I've been showing you the signs that you need to take a break from this. You don't have to have your name or a title on a desk to serve in God's church. And so there's different ways that, you know, you can do that. So we just took a pause from that and we actually home churched, my wife and I, for a year. And we just stayed at home because, you know, we felt like, If I went anywhere else and attended a church somewhere, we were just afraid we were going to jump right back in the river and go down the current again. And we really need to pause to see what God has for us. And so, yeah, so we paused from all that.
No, he says, be still.
Absolutely.
Hello, loyal listeners. Hey, are you a local agent struggling to find markets for your client? Maybe you, maybe not. Look no further than Nationwide Brokerage Solutions. With over 200 carriers, their comprehensive options give you what you need for your customers' ever-changing needs. With NBS, as they say it in the cool world, you can confidently offer a wide range of options to better support your customers and grow your business, aka agency. Don't settle for less. Do more with NBS. For more information about Nationwide Brokerage Solutions, visit nbsbrokerage.com. CAS certified. Right? That's what he says. He says, be still.
But you can't if you're just overcommitted.
Well, he can. And, you know, and sometimes they say that God will never give you more than you can handle. And I say, no, he will give you more than you can handle, because that's the only way he can get you to look to him. But in that moment, I think it's be still. Now, in that still time, this is, when was this? 2018, 2019?
Yes, this was 18 to 19. January 1st of 18 is when we really kind of buckled down.
Okay.
And then we,
what was the first thing when you said, I'm going to buckle down, and you made this list, or you talked with your wife and your kids, what did that look like? What was buckle down?
You know, buckle down was to stop the running, and mainly in what I did in ministry was music ministry. So it was managing, wow, it was managing bands in the modern church. So it gotcha. was managing bands and multiple drummers and trying to recruit and bass players and who's going to sing the solo and who's going to do the thing. And what about 3 weeks from now?
You were the musical director. You were the worship leader.
Yeah, yeah. You would call it the worship leader. Right.
Right. That is a very, very, I go to a good sized church, and that is a deep intel job. And you're running an agency at this.
Oh yeah.
And you're trying to be a father. Yeah. I get you now. I get you.
Yeah. It was just too much. And actually we felt like on the ministry front that so much was focused on the natural, that really we were suffering spiritually, and we needed to just refocus in God's word and get out of the running and the doing and do just a little bit more of the being and knowing. And really our deal was, God, just whatever you have for us, we just know this way's not working. And so we're just going to pause and be quiet and be still. We're going to seek you in your word, and we're going to find out, what do you have for us? And if it doesn't even include insurance, so be it.
One of the things he answered to is, he said, you need a new AMS system. He said, you need a new marketing system or whatever. So now you went through this firing and, or this person who has left, and where the deal that I've really gotten to know in the last 4 to 6 months is one who's questioning the technology he's using,
yeah,
who's questioning the processes he's doing, who's questioning his booking tactics. And maybe should that be kept in-house? Should I outsource that? I'm looking for somebody. Am I correct? Your wife worked in the business with you.
Yeah, she does the books on the back end.
She does the books. You know, how can we make her life more fruitful? I hear these other agents, and I don't want to chase the shiny object, but I know that I need to change.
Yeah.
In that mindset, Dale, what did you go with first? What was the important leading factor in your agency?
Well, you know, we've had a kind of a messed up. I've just felt like that. Technology in the independent agency system has just been broken for so long, and always at least 10 years behind the rest of the world and all that. And so, you know, just through the mastermind of being exposed to so many different things that all these different people are doing, and it just really opened my mind to what is possible and what is out there. So many super sharp people and so many things that were being discussed. And I just thought, okay, I'm going to fix this. And part of the big push came was, I was trying to train. I do have a VA that, you know, an offsite VA. I was trying to train him and going through some things. I was really realizing everything that I was telling him, I was also having a side comment about how broken and ridiculous this system is. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. I've said this like 800 times since I'm training this guy. So I'm going to find a better way. Because if I've got to have a disclaimer on every single thing we do and why it's backwards and wrong and messed up, I'm going to find a better way. There's got to be something better than this.
Love it.
And so I just went on a complete blitz. Of basically all things software. It's actually a passion of mine, and I have been passionate about that since day one. Just a lot of times the busyness, I can't really dig down into it. But mm-hmm. That has been basically, you know, over the past probably 120 days, I mean, that has been my almost 100% job, is talking to people and being, I got phones ringing here. I need to put them on do not disturb. I've been just on that search. And so one thing that, you know, I'm currently, I think, about 2,700 emails behind on attaching emails. And that's kind of where I live. And then some of those are still actionable items. And some of those things are conversations that should have just been attached and whatever. But through our management system and the processes, I get so many. It's mm-hmm. such a cumbersome process to do that and document. So basically, looking at the cumbersome process of attaching emails and really communications in general. And I just thought there's got to be a better way to do this. So I actually kind of went outside of insurance world, and I thought, what if, you know, one of the things through Michael Hyatt stuff that he says is, you know, if you want something, or if there's a goal that you have or whatever, you know, let's not, you know, ask the question, what would have to be true? Not just, well, we can't do that because, no, what would have to be true if we wanted to do that? So, if I wanted to have a more modern and reasonable and just using modern technology, if I wanted to have a better system to be able to capture emails, notes, then I started thinking about texts and then in the documents that we upload and all the things on the communications and documentation end of things. So I just went looking for that, and I went totally outside of the insurance world, and I went into the regular world of software and started looking into what is possible. If I wasn't in insurance and somehow felt bound into management systems and all that and how they work, what would I use, and what could it look like? What are the possibilities? And so I just started down that road.
Good advice from Michael Hyatt. Good way, good job for you to translate that into how I can do that. That's using technology. I like that.
Yep, absolutely. So I saw that, and I saw some of those things of how things actually work and interact, and some, you know, different, all kinds of different software that's out there. But it always led me back to the thing of, you know, look, as fast paced as things go, and if you want to be efficient, and, you know, if I don't have those systems connected somehow to my management system, to my database, I think those things are going to get out of sync as much as I want to use a totally separate piece. So I kind of led me back to, okay, so now let's look at, I see what's possible out there. Now let's see what's possible that does work with management systems. And there's a lot of cool and awesome stuff out there. A couple of them that I was looking at real hard that didn't necessarily work for me just with the management systems that we're on and the situation that we're on. I've had a situation for years now. For 3 years, I've been paying for EasyLinks and AMS 360.
Oh, wow.
My management system, 360. We've tried to leave them for our manual commercial processing, but EasyLinks just had some deficiencies in the manual commercial side of, you know, non-download heavier commercial stuff that I for my specific needs, there were some things that just...
What do you like about EasyLinks though that you're saying that you don't get from AMS 360?
Well, when we went to EasyLinks because the Raider and the management system were one thing, and that helped our personal lines flow. But really one of the main things is, and this may sound ridiculous too, but we love QuickBooks, and we love, you know, the fight of dealing with the accounting side on a true rigid, debit and credit based system, and some of these management systems. It just didn't have, I was looking for the modern solution with the bank interactions and downloads and matching and all that stuff. So yep. The interaction with QuickBooks, integration with QuickBooks was a big part of, that we wanted. And when
we are too. So you're not silly by that. There's a lot of agents that use it. And there's this old adage that when QuickBooks came out, I don't know if it's 2000 or 2005, whenever it was, agents tried to try it in their agency, and they couldn't do agency bill and direct bill and all that because the thing was so simple. And that's carried through the years. And so when you try to explain, especially to an old legacy agency, that you really don't have to use the accounting in there, and actually you can get way better reports and keep that if you're having someone in-house doing, or if you're outsourcing it, right? People don't understand that I mean, I'm 780, almost 800,000, and I've never done nothing but run my damn agency on QuickBooks. So, and yeah. I do a lot of commercial and I do a lot of agency bill, you know? And so they just don't realize. So I'm with you on the QuickBooks thing. I've said this many times, if you're 20, 30, 40 people or more, probably need an AMS 360 or some kind of applied, especially if you're wanting to grow. It's just an all-in-one encompassing system. But yep. Dale, 72% of the agencies out there are 5 to 6 people or less. So, but yet 80% of the AMS market is Vertafore or applied. Loyal listeners, did you just hear what I said? 72% of the people are 5 to 6 people or less, but yet 80% of the market is Vertafore and applied, but yet you really don't need Vertafore applied unless you're a lot of people. I just don't get it. So anyways, so you're still looking for your AMS system. That was one thing that you called me about specifically. And then what have you kind of found out? I don't want you to talk about that because that has to do with relationships outside of this. But what was the next thing you found? Okay, if I'm going to search my management system, I don't know exactly where I'm going to go yet. My advice to you, if you remember what I said, I said, just hold on about 6 to 8 months. There's a lot of stuff changing and there's some serious stuff, loyal listeners to you too. There's some serious stuff getting ready to be known by July or August, maybe September, maybe June, right? It's the technology somewhere in there. And that's what I told Dale. I still believe that Varuna is the best, but I also said, if you're growing in commercial, there's nothing for you to hurt for to wait about 5 or 6 months because they do commercial, but they're really revamping it right now and should have it done in the next 4 to 6 months. And then in the other AMS world, I know what's going on out there and there's some pretty advanced things. Easy links in AMS 360. Yeah, that's wild.
It makes sense,
but it's wild coming.
It's just what we had to do. Yeah, I mean, it's what we had to do. We had been on 360 for years. And anyway, it's just what for me, you know, for the commercial processing, it's awesome. And it, you know, awesome. There were just, you know, really when I left for Easy Links, I was looking for a more modern solution for a few other things and all this. Mm-hmm. So it was part of the same hunt. I've always been trying to find a better solution. But actually, I have landed on.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I've landed. Contracts are signed. So the main deal for me where I really landed was I wanted to get to Salesforce. That was a deal. Uh-huh. A Salesforce-based platform.
I see where you're going.
And, you know, a lot of this stuff is Salesforce-based. I see it. I see things moving in that direction. To me, that was the only way to break out into out of the agency world and be connected to a management system. And I think that those doors are going to keep opening up, you know, with whether it's Neon or some of these other things that are happening. I just see so many modern things happening. Well, it's kind of funny with what you had just mentioned, but the way I could get to Salesforce was either with a connector from AMS 360,
yep,
or a connector from Applied Epic. And going through weighing my options out in there made sense to stick with AMS 360.
Okay.
But come to find out, as I started going down that road, their connector to Salesforce had been stopped. It had been put on pause. They were rebuilding a deal for the new financial services platform. Anyway, so the only viable option at the time was going to be to go to Epic to get to Salesforce. And that is what I have done.
You've decided you signed the check.
It is done.
Damn. Loyal listeners are really surprised right now. They're thinking, I wonder what Cass is thinking. I'm just thinking. No, and here's the deal. This is the truth. And I'm going to tell you this. A lot of my buddies get on to me because they'll say that I speak to both sides. I'm completely okay about that. Cookie gets on me all the time about that. First of all, I believe anybody who's one-sided has a closed mind. And a closed mind is not good. Okay. So you should always be able to see both sides and you should always be able to relate to both sides. Those who can't might have a problem with empathy and sympathy. Just me. That's Cass. It's a rant. I'll come back to it. Now, the fact is that I have said multiple times on this podcast, when you talk about the best management system, all encompassing, it's applied. It really, truly is. I just think they're evil. That's my thing, right? I mean, Twitter is huge. Twitter is huge as can be. I just think Twitter's evil, right? And when I say that, I'm not saying like evil. I'm being funny, loyal listeners. But I'm just saying, to me, I think they're very encompassing in the way that they work, and they're very much like an iPhone. And I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. It's an awesome product, but it don't work a lot very well with other things. Now, the Salesforce does, because they bought Tech Canary. That's a good thing. The only thing I want to say to everybody out there is, I don't know this answer. To have a true Salesforce product for as an AMS, and to really use it differently than every other AMS to capture data, you have to have cases and opportunities. To have cases and opportunities, you have to have the Salesforce Enterprise license. Now, Dale, please excuse me here for a minute, because there's some companies out there right now who are saying they're built on the Salesforce platform, and they're comparing themselves to Neon. And this has nothing to do with Applied or AMS 360. These are other ones. And I want you to know right now, they're absolutely lying to you. I've already talked to Seth Zaremba. Number one, I'm a pilot agent, so anybody who gets bought or any mergers that come about, I know about them first. Every Friday at 2 o'clock, we have a meeting. And what's important to understand is you want to ask these people who are on Salesforce to say this: what license do I have with Salesforce? And they'll say, oh, it's included in the price. You get the Salesforce license with the AMS license. You're getting a basic Salesforce license. You can't get cases and opportunities. You can't share your data. You can't put it into a data lake. You can share your data because you own it as a Salesforce person, but you can't necessarily do things. You have to have cases and opportunities. And the only way you can get cases and opportunities is the Salesforce Enterprise license. And you're not going to find that license for less than $125 just for the Sales Enterprise license. That's what it's going to cost you. So keep in mind, for all you loyal listeners out there, ask them when they say that they're an AMS on Salesforce, ask them, do I have the Sales Enterprise license? I have talked to numerous people who they've even asked them that, and they say yes. There's no way you're getting all that for $150. There's just no way. Salesforce is getting $125 to $150 of that $150. So it makes sense. Dale, thank you very much, because I've been wanting to do a separate podcast on that. So thanks very much for pausing. So sure. when do you go live? I mean, have you live? When are you doing your training?
Well, we're doing some of the automated training just on the Epic side. I've had some staff turnover, and so we might even slow down to speed up.
That's a good thing.
Right now, I'm actually kind of going the other way, at least for the Epic stuff, so that we can start with phase one. We're just going to, crawl, walk, run. So we are shooting for a 30-day conversion to get over to Epic, at least for that step one, to get that data over there. And the reasoning for that is that just for some hiring that I need to do for commercial processing, I need to land and be on wherever I'm going to be before mm-hmm. I make that hire. It's a little tough to say, well, that's we're ESP, I need you to know Easy Links and AMS 360 and Epic and Salesforce. And, and people are going to go, okay, next. So anyway.
Okay, so this is good. And so you now are going to encompass a lot of your technology, because you've got your CRM now inside your AMS. You'll be able to record the client experience a lot better.
Yes.
They even do have their own mobile app. It's not the best in the world, but it's their mobile app. I think it works fine. I just think Glovebox and others have some fascinating things. I think it'll only be a matter of time before Applied steals their stuff. And if you listen to my podcast with Reese Holsworth, they are really going that Ivins, they're recreating that for that to be. Now, since that podcast, this is a plus for you, Dale, is since that podcast, I've talked to many, many vendors who have said to me, I was one of those that reached out to Reed. Because these vendors are having to make these connections with each one of these carriers. And then they're having to maintain those connections with each one of those carriers. It is a labor-intensive process. So if you get someone like Ivins who says, we'll be the connector, you just plug into us because we already have the connection with the companies, that like lowers their costs substantially. I think that puts it in bed. That's one of the reasons why Ivan now has been made their own corporation and given their own leadership structure, because I think they've realized finally after 5, 6, 7 years now that just them having ownership in it is not necessarily the best. And I think that Reed's doing a good job. I know there's a lot of people that want to sit out there and they want to beat him up for selling Tech Canary. If he got offered the money he got offered and one of my buddies didn't sell it, I would go smack him. That's the whole reason why you create things, right? It's just ridiculous the way that some people beat him up. Overall, Reed's a good guy and he's very smart and he does believe in the independent insurance and agents, and that he was one at one time. So anyways, Dale, wrapping this up, dude, we have been going on and on. Loyal listeners, I do apologize, but I think that you're getting a lot out of this. And Dale, here's the deal. So many people relate. We got 480 some thousand insurance agents. 30 some thousand of them listen to this. 20% of them are going to connect with you, are going to relate with you. That's 3,000 people. There's 3,000 people who have their hair cut, just had that. There's 3,000 people who have had a staff member leave them and say, you know what? I'm tired of not having processes. There's people out there who are saying, where do I start? There's people out there that are going to reach out to you and say, when you were looking at these five, what was it that you were asking? What were those questions? And yeah, good for you, Dale. That's why I brought you on this podcast. Really, 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 really glad. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or say about some of your journey up to now?
You know, just that it's a continual journey. This is the landing place for right now. And, we're always going to be moving, and business is always changing. These changes, they're tough. When you change a management system, especially the larger you get, even a small agent moving kind of into medium-sized agent world, which is where we are, it's even on a small staff, maybe especially on a small staff, because you wear so many hats, it's tough. But we've always got to be open to what the future holds and where things are moving and changes that need to be made. And we also need to be disciplined, maybe sometimes when that change doesn't need to be made, and pause for a little bit. But, this is where we are for now. I feel like my main point is getting onto Salesforce so that I can get connected with other modern apps and other modern ways and flows of doing business in that world. And I think that that's going to take us somewhere. And I think that's going to open the door for some other things, like you say, that are coming down the road. So and when those things come, we're going to be listening and looking, and we're where we are for now. We're going to be there a while, but it's always changing. And, you just have to be ready to roll with it and roll with the changes, I think. So.
With Salesforce, I can plug in an app and all my phone system, it comes in and it gets transcribed and AI pulls it out and puts it into my management system or captures it.
That was there's one of the no key things I was looking for.
There's no management system that you can do that with unless you're hooked up with Salesforce. Loyal listeners, I hope you're listening to what I just said. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. And it's not like, man, I got to go get this technology developed like you would with any other management system. No, you just go to the marketplace and put in what you need and you read and go, yeah, that looks like a good one.
Absolutely.
Now, right now, I'm not doing that, I will say, because it's not feasible for, right? The cost of technology is coming down. And what we're also finding out is that when you're using transcription, Dale, and you are running AI through it, the closer you need it to be to real time, the more expensive it is. But if you can give the company 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes to transcribe it and run it through AI, and then it puts it into your management system, the cost actually starts to come down. It really, truly does.
That's where we are. That's what we're doing. So
I love it, Dale. Dale, thank you very much. You know what we're going to do, Dale, is we're going to bring you back in 2022. Sounds crazy. We're going to bring you back in 2022 and get a recap of where you are. And I'm really excited for you. I hear it in your voice. You're excited when you talk about how you think it's going to help keep your hair, make your wife, a little bit more happy, because, she's stressed out too, but she's stressed out because you're stressed out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're stressed out because she's stressed out. And so that's good stuff, man. That's good in a whole lot of areas. I'm proud of you. Dale, wrapping it up with what you watch and what you read. Leaders are readers, and you're a leader, so I know you're a reader. What are you reading right now?
I'm reading Best Year Ever, Michael Hyatt, Free to Focus. Both of those I've read before, and The Obstacle is the Way.
Ooh, The Obstacle is the Way.
That is the most amazing book, transformational, and we're facing lots of obstacles in our world right now. And it is, basically the concept that, when that obstacle is in front of you, don't go to the right or the left or wait or stop, or you just go straight through it. And you find the lesson that obstacle is teaching you. When you lose staff or your stuff blows up on you, or you lose that one major account, or, things are happening in your family or whatever, what things can you learn from that to do better and push you to do better through that obstacle? And that's kind of the you know, basic summary of the book, is finding that the obstacle is actually the way, not something to be afraid of. And that has been, I'm so glad I started reading that when I did, because it's been powerful for me right now.
I like that. I just wrote that down in the notes. Besides that, I don't know what you and the wife do. I do know she's your boo. So you probably watch it Hulu. Maybe you get your kicks on Netflix, or you spend your time on Amazon Prime. What are you watching that everybody else should watch as well?
We are so old school. We watch an episode of Andy Griffith every night when I have my cereal before bed. And she watches, she'll watch maybe some Mary Tyler Moore or Bob Newhart. And then one of my favorite shows ever, Newhart. Old school. Wow. Newhart, where he was the owner of an inn in Vermont, which actually is my goal after I get out of insurance.
For real?
I just want to own an inn, whether it's in Vermont or Fredericksburg, Texas, and just bring joy to people and just enjoy the days and, you know, maybe whittle on the front porch and play some guitar in the evenings. That's a goal.
Yes, I love it. And his what is it? Is his brother Larry?
It's Larry, my brother Daryl, and my other brother Daryl.
Other brother Daryl. That's it. I love it. Paul Newhart, somebody that the new generation would find maybe not as entertaining as back in the day, but he was a very, very funny person. Now, Dale, I do appreciate you coming on, man. This has been good.
Hey, thanks so much. And sorry for the hour and a half intro, but you know, I'm an insurance agent, so that's what we do. Yeah. We talk.
Just 27 minutes. Don't worry about it. Schmidley's was like 50 some minutes. But anyways, here's the thing, loyal listeners, I want you to take away from this. There's a lot of gold nuggets that you can take, obviously, away from this. Also, be sure to check out our show notes. We do show notes for you, and we actually break it down, especially if you're on Spotify. They allow a cool thing where you can look at the notes, and then you can just click on that note, and it'll take you right to that part inside of the podcast so that you can get back down to that. Now, loyal listeners, one of the things that I want you to learn and want you to, well, not to learn, because, you know, I can only teach so much and I'm not here to teach you. I want you to listen. I want to pull out one thing that Dale said. He didn't say it, but he said it. He said it in numerous, numerous ways. And it's something that our boy Billy Williams all told us at BrainShare 2018 when we were in Vegas. And he asked everybody, and loyal listeners, depending on how much you listen, you may have heard this before. He asked everybody that before you start something, before you're going to reinvent your agency, before you're going to recreate a rule or something in your house as a parent, you can do this in everything you do, but specifically in business, what should be the first thing that you do when you're trying to make a change? And Billy said, anybody have any answers? And someone said, you know, you need to call your mortgage person. You need to get a loan. You need to go get a permit. You know, all this stuff. Billy's like, nope, 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 nope. And his answer was very profound, but very simple, because everything Billy says is simple. And he says, you must clean your sight. Mm. You must clean your sight, because you can't build until everything's cleaned up. And I think it also goes to the point of when Billy says, when you go to a conference, don't try to find one or two, three things to bring back. Try to come back and eliminate one thing. It goes back to cleaning your sight, loyal listeners. When you're listening to Dale and you're listening to things that he's saying and you're hearing him analyze things, right? And then he said, you know, here I am. And he was out there building, trying to train a new person. And as he's building, he's hitting these stumps and he's going, when are we just going to clear all these stumps out of here and then we can build fresh, you know? And then actually, once I show people how to build this little part, I don't have to be there to show them, but they keep hitting into these stumps all the time. Billy would say, clean your sight. And so looking back, that tells me and lets me know that I know Dale's on the right track, because he's cleaning his sight. I've said it over and over that the hub of the wheel is your AMS system. Coming up close behind it is now our ecosystem of our agency, which is Slack or Teams. But I want you to know this is important, the hub. I love the fact that that's where Dale started. And if you're out there and you have any questions, you can reach out to Dale. Lane, hold on. I had to write it out phonetically. Langhennig.
You got it. Langhennig.
Yeah, it's one of the toughest. And okay, we already talked about that. So anyways, Dale, thank you very much for your time. I really, really greatly do appreciate it. I also appreciate you loyal listeners, because you know what I do, because I do it for you. This has been Jason Cass with Agency Intelligence, where I gave you a real agent, Dale, inside of a real agency, giving you the real agency intelligence and not the artificial that they try to make you believe out there. This is Cass. That's Dale. I'm not saying his last name. We're out. Hey, agents, listen to this. Listen to this. What are we terrible at? Think of it. Think of it. Really? We're terrible at training, right? We're not very good at hiring. We're not very good, terrible at firing, actually. Terrible at creating process and some workflows. Terrible at technology and implementing that technology and even knowing what type of technology we want. And the list goes on and on. Now, listen, I'm an agency owner. And you know how it is. To fix a problem, the first thing you got to do is you got to admit you have a problem. Here's what you do. Go to virtualintel.com. Check out what we do, because we do all those bad things that you can't do, really. And you may do one or two of them well. Good for you if you can do them all. Just want you to know you're in the minority. But if you can't do any of them good, or you don't even want to do them anymore because it just takes too much mental power, then good for you for realizing that, and give us a call. I'm telling you, at Virtual Intelligence, that's what we do. And where we specialize in high-quality VEs, not virtual assistants. Look it up. Go to ChatGPT. Put in what's the difference between a virtual assistant and a virtual employee. Enough said. I don't have enough time to go on and on about all the differences on this 60-second commercial. But you've got time to search it and look at it. That's what we do. We deliver high quality VEs. We mix the technology with it. We train them on the technology, give them and the technology to you, and you're off to the races. I'm not joking with you. You can call my agency at any time, ask for Lordland. And we do ask her, say, how fast are you able to do quotes? I've actually got a couple videos of it. That's right. We can do 5 to 10 carriers in one quote in 3 to 7 minutes. So you give me an auto quote, I can do 5 to 10 carriers in 3 to 7 minutes. How are we doing it? We're doing it through the technology of virtual intelligence. Give us a call. Check us out. You can ask for me personally. I'll do the demo for you. Who are they? Cass Certified.